David Trainer, the president and founder of New Constructs, is here. And we're looking back at things he talked about in 2018. Today, we're covering the things he got wrong. Welcome to the Danger Zone. Yes, it's the Danger Zone here on Money Life. This is where we talk with David Trainer each week about securities that, well, they are misleading. The numbers aren't necessarily adding up to the way they should, because at New Constructs, they dig in at the bottom and they work their way up. But everybody else, they look from the top down. And when they do look from the top down, they're not always asking this question.
Is it possible I'm not as attractive as I think I am?
Oh, it's definitely possible. David looks in from the bottom up, works out the forensics that are in the numbers, and gets to where he's got a true picture. And where something is misleading and it works against you, well, that's something that is dangerous. If it works for you, by the way, that is something that might be a buy. Now, David sounded the alarm last year on a lot of different securities.
Danger, danger.
Today, we're not going to play that alarm. We're simply going to talk about a couple things he got wrong, and then next week, we'll come back with his highlights for the year. But before we do, a quick reminder. David Trainer does run New Constructs, which you can find online at newconstructs.com. They blog about their Danger Zone picks, so you can always find more information on anything we discuss there, and they're on Twitter, at New Constructs. David Trainer, welcome back to the show.
Great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
I know that it's a happy new year, and I know we've gotten off to a good start, but we always start you when we look back with the things that maybe didn't go so well. So we're going to take a look at a couple of things that maybe you wish you hadn't sounded the alarm on. Who's the first one that is a Danger Zone lowlight?
Nutanix.
Nutanix. That's ticker symbol NTNX. What went wrong here?
This just looked like a classic sort of overpriced software business. You know, they weren't making any money. The valuations was extremely high. But every now and then, these businesses do turn it around. We were surprised by the fact that they had such a successful acquisition early on in Minjar. And that boosted the stock big time, 50%, almost, you know, within 2 weeks of us making the call. Now, the stock's down since then, but overall, we're still really wrong on this one. It was up 37% while the S&P was down 5%. That's pretty painfully wrong. And look, it doesn't get an attractive rating for us, but I think that we underestimated the value of the underlying technology. A lot of times we kind of assume that these bigger firms, the Microsofts, the Oracles, S&Ps of the world, can easily put some of these little guys out of business if they just decide to dedicate some of their huge resources towards replicating some of these newer technologies. And I think the truth of the matter is, no, they can't. And that's part of why there is such a vibrant community of upstart software companies, because these bigger firms really struggle to innovate at the way they did and the way they did in the beginning. So, yeah, we just miss Nutanix. The business has really started to get profitable. It's still pretty expensive, but there looks to be some real value in the technology there.
Yeah. So you picked Nutanix, NTNX, in February. It didn't turn out the way you expected.
I do not dispute it. I merely state that it is wrong.
Yeah, your pick was wrong, and you're certainly not disputing it. What's the second company that was a low light for you?
Regis Corporation.
Regis Corporation is ticker symbol RGS. You picked that one also in February.
Yeah, and similar stats. It's up 36% while the S&P was up 6% over that time frame. And really what we missed here was just how successfully management could execute on their turnaround. We thought that they just wouldn't be able to close as many franchises and go to more of a direct model as they plan to, and we underestimated what the new CEO could do to make that happen. And what they did was pretty phenomenal. They really increased the number of franchises and got out of owning the assets, and that helped them double their NOPAT margin from 3% to 6%. They just got it done. Typically, when the businesses aren't looking that good and there's a big turnaround priced into the stock, we just feel like the risk reward there is pretty low, but you know, dead gummit, they got it done, and they did even better than we expected and even the market expected, and so that stock went up while the market went down.
How much? What was that discrepancy?
up 36%, while the S&P over that time frame was up 6%. I think that was from the February drawdown. I think we called that one right when the market was really kind of at its low. So the S&P was actually up from that point.
Yeah, but it was up 36, the S&P was up 6, and you were against it.
It's wrong, shockingly wrong.
Well, it's the second one that you got wrong. So that's two. Your third low light from 2018.
Zendesk.
Zendesk. Now that is ticker symbol ZEN. You talked about that one in March. So you had your losers in a pretty concentrated time frame there. What went wrong with Zendesk?
We're still not sure we're going to perpetually be wrong. Whereas for Regis, we closed that position. Nutanix will probably look pretty closely at closing that position early this year. Zendesk, we're not sure we're still going to be wrong, but we know we were wrong last year. It's just a business that doesn't look to have a lot of really big barriers to entry or competitive differentiation, similar to LivePerson that we put into the danger zone about a year before that. Low margins, misaligned executive compensation, inability that we think to scale, but growing revenues, man, got everybody cheering behind this one.
So is this one of those cases, you and I, probably the thing we say more than anything else, I say, David, what's going to be the catalyst? And you say, it's hard to tell. It sounds like you're saying, you still don't really like this one, but you still don't know that there's a catalyst out there. Like, apparently, everything was in place, just no catalyst. And if you go on without a catalyst, you can be wrong for a long time, right?
That's right. You know, as people have often told me, it's hard to tell the difference between too early and wrong. And we hope that we're too early here, not wrong. But in the meantime, then the stock's outperforming, up 30% while the S&P was down 8%.
So those were the mistakes. They were the ones where you have to ask yourself,
what could possibly go wrong?
And when you ask yourself, you have to, come to that conclusion. Now, of course, the great part about David is that he comes here each week. He always takes a shot. And what he never tells us is this.
I'm never wrong.
Nope. He's willing to tell us when he's wrong. But next week, he's going to be back to tell us when he is right. But in the meantime, if you want to get more information on the three stocks we talked about today, go check out the blog they do at newconstructs.com. Remember, they're on Twitter, @newconstructs. David Trainer, we look forward to doing this with you again next week.
Me too, Chuck. Thank you.
Remember, that's David Trainer, everybody. Newconstructs.com, on Twitter, @newconstructs. All right, we're heading for home on the Monday, January 7th edition of Money Life. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.